got our reading from Luke chapter 18, from verse 31. Sorry about the repeat. We've had it much better from a real blind man, a real crowd, and a real Jesus just a few minutes ago. But hear it again. And taking the 12, Jesus said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked, and shamefully treated, and spat upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day he will rise." But they understood none of these things. The saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God.
Well, thank you so much to James for reading for us there. And it was wonderful to be singing that song, or to be singing in our hearts that song, asking God to speak this morning as we come to his word. We really do need his help if we're going to understand this morning. And we've already asked for that in our song a moment ago. But it'd be wonderful if you do keep your Bibles open there at Luke chapter 18, or have it open on a device so that you can follow along this morning. Now, as we begin, I just want to ask a very simple question. How many blind men are there in our passage this morning? Anyone want to hazard a guess? How many blind men are there in our passage this morning? Well, you could be forgiven if you said the obvious. One blind man. And there is one obvious blind man, the blind beggar by the side of the road who cries out to Jesus for mercy. This man's name is Bartimaeus. We know that from Mark's account of this same incident. He is the obvious blind man, but a little bit like a Where's Wally story, where you have to try and find the more subtle hidden Wallys in the on the page. If we look a bit more closely, we will see this morning that there are 13 blind men in our passage this morning. One of them is obvious, the others, the disciples, are hiding in plain sight. And the reason that Jesus tells us about this blind beggar by the road is because he wants to show us how the other 12 blind men, the disciples, and actually how we can receive our sight too. He acts like a mirror to show us our blindness and our need for Jesus' saving power and rescue too. So you've got 2 points this morning. See your blindness and see your Saviour. See your blindness and see your Saviour. So firstly, see your blindness. Now in verses 31 to 34, the 12 disciples clearly can see physically. Their eyes work perfectly well. But they are to some extent spiritually blind. Jesus says to them, verse 31, see, we are going up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man, that's Jesus, will have everything done to him that's written about him by the prophets. He'll be delivered over to the Gentiles. He'll be mocked and shamefully treated and spat upon and flogged and even killed. And 3 days later, he will rise. Jesus is telling his disciples, this is what it means for me to save you, to rescue you. But they don't get it. Despite the fact that Jesus has told them that they must see what is about to happen, verse 34 tells us they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. It seems that the disciples, despite their proximity to Jesus, had a fixed idea in their minds of what Jesus saving them really meant. And what he just told them about being delivered over and mocked and beaten and killed didn't fit with their preconceived ideas. Whereas the blind man by the side of the road, Bartimaeus, couldn't be more different. Yes, he's physically blind, but he sees spiritually far more clearly than the disciples. When it comes to the identity of Jesus, this blind beggar nails it. He calls out in verse 38, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, he's not mixed up with who Jesus' father is. No. When he calls Jesus the Son of David, he's saying, "I recognize you, Jesus, as the long-promised king who's coming from the line of King David. The one that we've been waiting for, the king who's coming to save." The Son of David is a loaded phrase, and in spite of his physical blindness, Bartimaeus sees Jesus with 20/20 vision. And so I want this morning us to see this as a warning for us. An important reminder that if it was possible for the disciples who'd been around Jesus as he taught and performed all these miracles to miss the point and to actually be blind to what it meant for Jesus to rescue, well then those of us who've been around Jesus and around the Bible for a while ourselves need to have humility this morning to consider, are there things that we might be blind to as well? Are there things that we need God in his mercy to teach us afresh, to sharpen and clarify our vision on? Are we in danger of forcing Jesus into a box of our own making rather than seeing him for who he really is? You know, do we see Jesus as demanding Jesus or eco-warrior Jesus or cozy, comfortable Jesus who just wants us to have an easy life? Uncontroversial Jesus who's not going to upset any apple carts? Or do we see Jesus as the saviour as the world who demands the whole of our lives? You see, reality blindness is at one level the fundamental human problem. Reality blindness is the fundamental human problem. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, we read this: "The God of this world," that's the devil, "has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Reality blindness is a widespread, a universal problem that can only be dealt with by Jesus. Now, as we see our blindness, we also need to see the impossibility of the problem of blindness. Now, many of you will know, I worked in the eye department at the Children's Hospital for 9 years as an eye care professional. Now, how many times do you think in my 9 years working at the Children's Hospital, do you think we saw children come in blind and leave the department fully sighted? None. Not once. So despite 2,000 years of medical advances, scientific research, understanding of how we treat sight problems, the problem of blindness is still impossible for us to deal with humanly. A blind person can't will themselves to see again. A blind person doesn't receive their sight by attending a particular building once a week. or by doing particular procedures. It's impossible. And as we reflect on that, and on the plight of Bartimaeus in his blindness, it should help us see his situation from a human perspective is impossible. And that helps us to connect to the man that we were thinking about last Sunday, the rich young ruler. What was it that Jesus said about rich people entering the kingdom of heaven? Well, verse 25, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. But, verse 27, what is impossible with men is possible with God. It is no coincidence that having told us about the rich ruler, just a few verses later, we meet a man with a problem that is humanly impossible to heal. Now, the rich man went away from Jesus sad, didn't he? And why was that? Because he was reality blind. His wealth and his possessions blinded him to the reality of his great need to know and be known by the God of the universe. He'd become so comfortable that when Jesus offered him the greatest treasure in the world, he couldn't see it for what it was. He went away sad because although deep down he knew his need for what Jesus offered, he thought the cost was too high. He was even blind to his blindness in that sense. But wonderfully, there is hope. If God can heal Bartimaeus, which he can and he did, then he can open the eyes of even the hardest of hearts, can't he, to see who Jesus truly is. To see that the value and worth of knowing him is far greater than anything that the world might offer us. Now, I think this really gives us a reality check on evangelism. As we seek to share the good news with our friends at school or at work, those we meet in the playground, our family members who don't know Jesus, we need to recognize that what we're endeavoring on is an impossible task, humanly speaking. It's impossible for us to argue people into the kingdom of God. It's impossible for us to persuade people to believe in Jesus. It's impossible for us to give them sight to see Jesus as he truly is. Only God can do that. But as we will see in a moment, wonderfully, he is ready, willing, and more than able to do it. As we continue wanting to be a church for people who don't go to church, we endeavor on an impossible mission, but with a God who makes it more than possible. And so we must approach our mission with humility and with prayerfulness, dependence on the one who can give sight to the blind. Bartimaeus also, though, helps us see that there might be roadblocks along the way. So we have a look at verses 38 and 39. Jesus cried out, Bartimaeus cried out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. As well as the impossibility of the problem of blindness, we must also see that there is opposition to the solution of blindness. There is opposition to the solution. Now, there's all sorts of reasons, aren't there, that people who know they need help don't go and get it. There are all manner of reasons and roadblocks that stop people coming to Jesus to receive the healing that only he can offer, the restoration and the new life that he has for us. Now, I think it really would have been really easy for Bartimaeus to give up, wouldn't it? The crowds basically told him to shut up. Jesus isn't interested in you. You're a blind beggar. What do you think you're doing crying out to this important man? Perhaps he might have started to wonder, is Jesus really interested in someone like me? Perhaps you've thought similar things yourself. Perhaps you've even been put off by your experience of other Christians. Perhaps you've experienced Christians who are self-righteous or proud or judgmental. And they've left you feeling like church isn't a place where you're welcome. They've left you feeling like Jesus isn't interested in you. But Bartimaeus reminds us that Jesus absolutely is interested in you. And in fact, he is a picture of every true follower of Jesus. Every true follower of Jesus is a blind beggar needing Jesus to restore our sight. All we bring to Jesus is our poverty and our need. And as we do that wonderfully, we find that Jesus shows us the same compassion, mercy, and care that he showed to Bartimaeus on the road that day. Now, there are voices all around us in our culture that are basically trying to persuade us, don't go to Jesus. He can't sort you out. He's not interested in you. Don't bother with him. Trust science. Trust human reason. Trust yourself. But don't trust Jesus. And perhaps you're a Christian and you're at school. You're facing people who are saying to you, why do you go to church? Why do you bother with all of that? And perhaps you've experienced that at work. Well, we know, as we read of Bartimaeus, that Jesus is the only one who can deal with our reality blindness. The only one who will have the compassion and care that we need. So it may be that you're exploring the claims of Jesus for yourself at the moment. Well, persist as Bartimaeus did. Ask Jesus to make himself clear to you. Come to Jesus with confidence, knowing that he cares so deeply for you, that he is more than ready and willing to save you too. He is even willing to face the humiliation of all that's described in verses 32 and 33 in order to save you and heal you at the deepest level. That brings us to our second main point this morning. Having seen our blindness, we also need to see our Saviour. See your Saviour. Now, the invitation of Jesus to Bartimaeus is profound and wonderful, isn't it? Verse 40, Jesus stopped having heard Bartimaeus' cries, and he commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Jesus, the King of Heaven, who's stooped down and come to earth as a man, stops for this blind beggar and says to him, what do you want me to do for you? I wonder, how would you have answered if Jesus was asking you that same question? I think our answer to that question reveals our hearts, what we think is most important. You know, Bartimaeus could have asked Jesus for anything in that moment, couldn't he? He could have asked Jesus for money. He was a beggar, after all. He was poor. He was living in poverty, unable to work. He could have asked for food. I'm guessing he was pretty hungry. But he knew he could ask anyone for those things. I guess, having seen Jesus as the Son of David, he could have asked a deep theological or philosophical question of Jesus. But all of these things would have left him with the same root problem. He knew his deep need was to have his sight restored. And he knew that Jesus was full of great power and compassion. And so he doesn't miss the moment. Verse 41. What do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, recover your sight. your faith has made you well. We might be tempted to miss the incredible thing that has just happened. The familiarity of this kind of a story loses its impact on us. But what we've just heard is a story of Jesus doing the impossible. Jesus, before our very eyes, in the words of Luke's gospel, has just done the impossible. He has taken a blind man and he has made him see. And what's slightly lost in our translation, when Jesus says to him, "Your faith has made you well," it's literally, "Your faith has saved you." Do you remember the questions the disciples asked after Jesus told them it was easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven? Verse 26. "Then who can be saved?" Who can be saved? Here's the answer. Those who simply trust that Jesus has the power and the compassion to save them, and who ask him to do just that. Simple faith. It's impossibly simple, isn't it? And that's why we find it so hard. We want to do something. We feel like we want to earn it. But it is a free gift for the one who simply asks Jesus to restore them. And that brings us to the impact of Jesus on Bartimaeus. See, having had his sight restored, Bartimaeus' life is utterly transformed. The miracle of sight isn't the end of the story, but the beginning. The beginning of a new life following Jesus. A life that is filled with joy. Verse 43, "Immediately Bartimaeus recovered his sight and followed Jesus, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God too." You see, Jesus is disruptive. You don't meet Jesus and leave unchanged. Receiving his healing and moving on isn't an option. You can't just kind of get on with life and pretend it never happened. I mean, Bartimaeus would have been foolish if he'd just carried on begging by the roadside, wouldn't he? Pretending he was still blind. Now, many of us here today who are joining us on Zoom have already received restoration of sight from Jesus, haven't we? The privilege of seeing Jesus for who he truly is. I wonder, are our lives marked by the same commitment to following Jesus that we see in Bartimaeus? Have we lost sight of the miracle that God has worked in our hearts? Do we see ourselves like Bartimaeus, as someone who was once blind but who can now see? He's had our lives transformed, turned upside down by encountering Jesus. Do we have the same joy that he expresses? I wonder, do we have the same impact on those around us? Or have we begun to lose sight of the miraculous restoration of sight that Jesus has given for us, the one who died to save us? Are we developing a blind spot to our need for Jesus to keep our vision crystal clear every day? Or have we begun to think that we can do it alone? Perhaps today is a day to go to the spiritual opticians to make sure that we're seeing clearly. Because even today, Jesus comes to us in great compassion and says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Well, let's ask him to restore our sight so that it is, in this weird year, 2020, although there's so much uncertainty and fear, let's pray that the Saviour of the world gives us 2020 vision to see him clearly and to live in the light of what's truly real, knowing that he's with us, knowing that he loves us and knowing that he is transforming us and our world through us. Well, let me pray that that would be the case for each of us this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks and praise. Now that in your Son, the Lord Jesus, you have given us life. That because he was willing to be mocked and beaten and spat on and flogged and even killed in our place, we can have our blindness restored to sight. We can have our lives transformed. We can have life that lasts not just for this life, but for the life to come. Father, please help each of us, each and every day, to know that we are walking miracles, that you have done the impossible in us. And Lord, where we are losing clarity of vision of Jesus, Lord, please would you restore our sight and help us to live with confidence and faithfulness for your glorious name's sake. Amen.